A life of character.
A life of character. I know, don't say we're all characters. I understand that. This is a little different slant on that. So throughout the month of December, we're looking at integrity in our spiritual living. And today we're focusing on living a life of character. I think this is a very timely topic in our nation, in our world even. It looks like, especially everyone in the United States, is rethinking their idea of what is integrity? What does integrity mean? What does it mean to each of us, and what do we really value? So I hope maybe to share some ideas today that will focus us a little bit more on living that life of character. Character is about expressing wholeness, honesty, and fairness in our relationships and activities. Ernest Holmes said this in A New Design for Living. He said, sound relations with others does not permit selfishness. What good we desire for ourselves, we must also desire for them. Jealousy of others has no place in our thinking, because what we deprive them of, we would be depriving ourselves of. Life is one enormous, cooperative, interrelated creation. As we come to learn to cooperate with life and our fellow beings, we are more nearly expressing the order and harmony that reside in the mind of God. So as we learn to live that life of character, we are learning to cooperate and live in harmony with all of life. Holmes went on to say, if we have done many things wrong up to this time, if perhaps we've not been all the things we could have been, well, that's the way things are. But the larger possibility is always ahead of us. We can start becoming more of it right now. Start moving out of what we are into what we can be. The only things that stand between you and the perfection that God created you to express are the accumulated thoughts, beliefs, and emotions of the ages. But there's nothing there that has not been put there by yourself or by the race consciousness, the race thought. What has been put there can be removed. So that is our hope, that is our knowledge, that anything that's keeping us from expressing the very best that we can be has just been an error thought that we have taken in and held in our mind, or that the society around us has held in mind, and that what has been put there can be removed. It can gently and easily fall away. So that's what we're knowing for ourselves. Emma Curtis Hopkins said in her famous book, Scientific Christian Mental Practice, she said, complaining and whining are only exhibitions of great desert spots in your character. You must fill up deserts with rain and fertilizer. So you must transform your moments of complaining by praise and description of the good in the universe. If things in your past have made you feel sad and hard, you must say that the good they have done you makes you thankful. Give great thanks. So in other words, find blessing in everything that's happened in your life and quit complaining. That's her message to us.
Bottom line.
That's the bottom line.
That's what has lived on through these ages. So for my reference for this talk today, A Life of Character, I'm using a work by David Brooks. He wrote a book called The Road to Character. Some of you may have heard interviews with him on NPR or seen his TED Talk. If you haven't seen that, you can go into TED Talks and Google his name, David Brooks, and you can hear what he has to say about this life of character, this road to character. He says, the central question of this book is not just how to do good, but how to be good. How to live a life of depth and meaning over success and achievement. One way to begin the journey is by asking yourself one simple yet difficult question. Am I living for my resume, or am I living for my eulogy? It occurred to me, he continues on, that there are two sets of virtues, the resume virtues and the eulogy virtues. The resume virtues are the skills that you bring to the marketplace. The eulogy virtues are the ones that are talked about at your funeral, whether you were kind, brave, honest, or faithful. Were you capable of deep love? So I need to take a little side bit here and just say that not always are the people who are able to speak at your funeral able to speak to your qualities of character, because sometimes they're not around. The people that you served and that you expressed your true self with are not there. But you know whether you're living from your truest values. You know whether you're living from your honesty, your bravery, your good character. So it's your eulogy is something that's written in our hearts. It's not something necessarily shared at one particular point in time. A colleague of mine, someone who put together some notes for this talk today, said this. She said she had a friend named Jessie, and Jessie had two children. She had a preschooler who was about four, and then she had a fourth grader. And one day, she and the youngest were out doing some errands, getting some groceries. And on the way home, she said she smelled something that smelled like orange coming from the back seat where the little one was sitting. And she said to her little one, "What are you eating?" And the little one said, "Oh, I'm eating this gum that I took from the store." And she held up an empty gum wrapper. And well, her mother was just astounded. And it was very busy. She was trying to get home, put some groceries away, and then get back to pick up the older one at school. So it would have been easy for her just to scold her and tell her not that she shouldn't have done that and just carry on. But no, she wanted it to be a lesson in character. So she turned the car around and she explained to her daughter, "When you take something without paying for it, or when you take something without asking me to pay for it, then that's called stealing, and we don't do that. So we're going to go back to the store, and you're going to have to tell the storekeeper what happened. I will give you the money to pay for the gum, and when we get home, we'll take that money out of your piggy bank." Well, of course, the little one was very upset about this. She didn't like that. But I like what she said to her at the end. She told her that she was going to be making it all right, and not to be afraid that she would be with her the whole time. So it's never too early to build a life of character. There's never an excuse for, "I'm too busy to do that, I can't take the time." It's very important that we realize that every block we put on those actions is building that life of character. So there's a few things to remember on this, on building this life of character. One is, it's okay to be flawed. It's okay to be flawed. Here's how David Brooks puts it. "We're all stumblers, and the beauty and meaning of life are found in the stumbling, in recognizing the stumbling and trying to become more graceful as the years go by." So we're all stumbling. We're just trying to become a little more graceful at it as the years go by. So owning our imperfections means being honest and authentic with ourselves. Sure, we're going to stumble. We may even struggle to get back up. The struggle creates humility and gentleness. We are less likely to judge when we see someone else stumble, when we realize that we're stumblers too. We do this too. And a life of character is what's developing along that journey of stumbling, trying to get up, looking with compassion on other stumblers. That's how we build that life of character. And all the time we're getting to re-examine and reprioritize so that our eulogy continues to outshine our resume. This is the philosophy for stumblers. This is the philosophy for stumblers. The stumbler goes through life facing their imperfect nature with unvarnished honesty. Are we doing this? Are we facing our imperfect nature with unvarnished honesty? We all know that eulogy virtues are more important than resume ones, but our educational system, our society, spends far more time in teaching us how to build a resume than it teaches us how to build a life of character, how to radiate that inner light from within us. Many of us are more clear on how to build an external career than we are clear on how to build a life of character. But if you live for external achievement, Years passed, and the deepest part of you goes unexplored and unfulfilled. It's easy to slip into sort of a self-satisfied mediocrity. If you're not actually harming anybody and people seem to like you okay, you may think you're doing okay. But you live with this kind of unconscious boredom, this feeling of being separated from your highest self, from your complete fulfillment, for what you could be expressing. So gradually, a humiliating gap opens up within you between your actual self and your desired self, what you really want to express, between you and those radiant souls that you'll meet along the way who are living from those qualities of character. David Brooks came to the conclusion that people of character are made. They're not born that way. We have to all make ourselves into a life of character. So he said that the people that he admired have an unfakeable inner virtue built slowly from specific moral and spiritual accomplishments. So if we want to be kind of gimmicky, we could say that those accomplishments could form our moral bucket list, our moral bucket list, and the experiences that we can build on to have the richest possible inner life. And here are some of these accomplishments that we can build on. One is a humility shift. A humility shift. We live in the culture of the big me, always encouraging ourselves to present ourselves as great people, what we can do, how valuable we are. So that's the big me concept. But all the people that I've ever admired have been honest about their own weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all have things that we're working on, that we're trying to develop within ourselves. And the people that have been able to shine that inner light have identified their core weakness. If we were in a more fundamental environment, we might say our core sins. So that core weakness could be selfishness. It could be a bad temper. It could be an irritable nature. It could be hard-heartedness. It could be cowardice, whatever. We each know, if we're honest with ourselves, what our own weaknesses are. And it comes from a position of me-centeredness rather than other-centeredness. So as we move into other-centeredness, we can begin to overcome these weaknesses. Another quality is self-defeat. Self-defeat. You don't hear me say that very much. But what I'm referring to here is that external success seems to come from competition with others. But internal success comes from striving to be the best you that you can be. Overcome limitations, confront weaknesses within yourself, and let that be the overcoming. Let that be what you're defeating. Dwight Eisenhower, for example, knew that his core weakness was his bad temper. You might not have known that about him because he was constantly working to overcome that. He intentionally developed a moderate, cheerful attitude because he knew that in order to lead people, he needed to project optimism and confidence. And he would do silly things to tame his anger. He would write down the name or the situation on a little piece of paper that he was angry at or that he was feeling hatred toward. And then he'd tear it up into small pieces and throw it in the garbage. That's sort of on the line of our burning bowl ceremony that we do at the end of the year, where we put whatever we want to release from our lives and burn it up. So he was constantly working on that idea of releasing some of that anger. So as he went through his life, through a life of self-confrontation, he developed a mature temperament. He made himself strong in his weakest places. Another step we need to take on the road to character is the dependency leap. We need to realize that we need each other. We need each other. People on the road to character understand that no person can achieve self-mastery on his or her own. Willpower is not strong enough to consistently defeat selfishness, pride, and self-deception. We all need redemptive assistance from the outside. We all need people to be in relationship with, people who will be honest with us, people who will hold us accountable, people who love us, and yes, people who forgive us. In building a life of character, we also need energizing love, true unconditional love. This is the kind of love that recognizes that our riches lie in serving other people. This is love that's electrifying. It's delightful to serve what you love. If you're a parent, you may have experienced that, hopefully through your love for your children, where you just will do absolutely anything. If you're in a profession or career that you love, that you're absolutely devoted to, you have that electrifying love for how you're serving the world through your work. This gift of love can overcome, and sometimes it even overcomes that natural self-centeredness that lies within us all, moving us beyond, transcending that focus on ourselves. And then there's the call within the call, the call within the call. We may go into our various professions for many reasons. Sometimes we go in it for money, sometimes for status, sometimes for security. But some people have an experience of turning that career into a calling. Their career becomes a calling. And these experiences quiet that little self within that wants to toot its horn and be big and important in the world. Frances Perkins, you may have heard of her, and when I tell the story, it may click with you who she is. She was a young woman who was an activist for progressive causes at the start of the 20th century. She was polite and a bit genteel, but one day she happened by a factory fire where workers were in an unsafe factory environment and they were dying because of these poor conditions. And it moved something within her. It shamed her. She felt a sense of moral shame, and it purified her ambition. It was her call within a call. After that, she turned herself into an instrument to the causes of workers' rights. She was willing to work with anybody under any circumstance, compromise whatever it took to help improve conditions for workers. She even changed her appearance to make herself look more matronly so that she would be more accepted for her ideas and her work involved. She became the first woman in a U.S. cabinet under Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and she emerged as one of the great civic leaders of the 20th century. That was Frances Perkins. She found her call within the call. And then there's the leap of conscience. Commencement speakers are always telling young people to follow your dream, follow your heart. Where does your heart lead you? What do you want to do out in the world? But this vision of life begins with the little self, and it ends with the little self. People on the inner road to courage and to character do not find their vocations by asking, "What do I want from life?" They ask, "What is life asking of me? How can I match my specific talents and gifts with what the world needs? How can I find a match for that?" That's where they find their true satisfaction. So in the realm of intellect, a person of character has developed a philosophical attitude about basic things. In the realm of emotion, they live a life of unconditional love. And in the realm of action, they're committed to a task that can't be completed in a single lifetime. So a philosophical attitude, unconditional love, and a vision that's bigger than they are. That's what a life of character looks like. Our lives often have moments of pain and suffering, but we can turn those moments into occasions of radical self-understanding by reflection, by keeping a journal, by making art. The people on this road see the moments of suffering as pieces of a larger story, a larger narrative. They're not really living for happiness as it's conventionally defined. They feel fulfilled only when they are enmeshed in a struggle on behalf of some ideal, something greater than they are. This is what I see with what Audrey and Karen are doing. They're devoting their lives to something bigger than they are. They're putting their all out there and doing what they can do to help life become better for all people. So we may set goals for ourselves every day, goals about developing our skills and trying to achieve some type of success. We often don't think of our moral aspirations in the same way, of how we want to not only do better, but be better. So I suggest that we could all start a moral bucket list. List three things that you would like to achieve in terms of building character in your life, living a life of character. The stumbler doesn't build their life by being better than others. They build their life by being better than they were the day before or the year before. Jack Addington was a New Thought minister. He passed in 98, and he was very prolific. He wrote a lot of books, and something he said has always stuck with me. He says, "I'm not where I want to be, and I'm not where I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be." So spend some time this week in reflection, perhaps journaling. Who are the heroes in your life, and what character traits do they show in the public life? Who do you look up to the most? What traits or actions define them? What do you think their message is? If they're still alive, consider writing them a letter and telling them the impact or the impression that they've made on your life of character. Those are the people that we want to be, people living a life of character. Thank you. Our affirmation is, I trust my inner goodness and I notice the goodness in others. All is well in my world. I live a life of integrity and love. Let's read it together.
I trust my inner goodness and I notice the goodness in others. All is well in my world. I live a life of integrity and love.
And so it is.
And so it is.